Let's turn in God's Word to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 22. Exodus 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 22. And beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Raamses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Those are God's words. After Joseph's death, at the end of Genesis, beginning here in Exodus, we see the recap of who was in Egypt of that time from Israel, verse 6, a summary of the death of all of Jacob's sons and that generation, and yet also the fruitfulness the Lord gave in multiplying the people of Israel greatly in verse 7. And what does this communicate? But that God's people continued that creation mandate of being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth. And here they are filling the land. Through verse 14, we see the Egyptians' wickedness. by putting heavy burdens upon them. Verse 12, the more they were oppressed, God's people were oppressed, the more they multiplied and filled the land by the grace of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. The Egyptians made them to be slaves. God's people to be slaves. Beloved, persecution is the way of the unbelieving world as they treat how they interact with the church. So we ought not to think it's something strange when it comes, as it is at times throughout the world, coming upon our brothers and sisters in many different places. And yet what we see is that the Lord abundantly blesses the persecuted people of God. The Egyptians were so wicked, we see throughout scriptures from time to time, they murdered the covenant sons, or they wanted to. They commanded the Hebrew midwives to kill all the sons who were born immediately upon birth. So what did they do? Did they obey their civil magistrate to disobey the Lord? No. They feared God. They disobeyed the magistrate and let the children live. And so the magistrate comes. Why aren't you doing as commanded by killing the sons? Verse 19. The midwife said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered, or the midwives come in unto them, or before the midwives come in unto them. Question throughout church history is, did they lie? The midwives, did they lie? No. We just heard they feared God. They upheld the sixth commandment. Would they go then immediately and break the ninth commandment? Bear false witness against their neighbor? No. Verse 20, we see reason to believe that they did not lie. God dealt well with them. And the theme of chapter 1 is the extraordinary blessing of increase the Lord was granting these families by God's grace. And so their rationale of verse 19 by the context shows they're telling the truth. Even though they still had opportunity after that, they get there a little late, the baby's already born. They still had opportunity to put the sons to death, but they refused to do that. And so we learn here a civil magistrate does not stop the increase of the people of God. He does not stop the increase of the church as we expand, as God expands His kingdom throughout the world. No one stands in God's way. Not even the gates of Hades. And so the lesson for us is that a wicked civil magistrate who persecutes and murders God's people does not slow down the increase of His church. And then when the Lord keeps winning the victory despite great persecutions, what happens? The very last verse, persecutions get worse. Verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So now he not only employs the midwives, now he employs all the parents to do this. If the midwives won't do it, then all the sons need to be thrown in the river, the great river. The savagery, the wickedness we see today throughout the world, by the world, upon the church of Jesus Christ. Do not forget this, beloved. It's not far from us. It's not beyond us. But remember that the Lord always blesses, and He especially blesses His persecuted people. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that at your perfect timing, you do extraordinary works in growing your church and growing our families. Even when persecution comes, Father, and it seems like it will come upon us soon in this generation or the next, we pray that you would uphold us by your promises, even as we see them here shown through the lives of your people. That you will uphold your people. That you will uphold those who fear you, who are faithful unto you and keep your commandments, who love you. And so, Father, we pray now that you would teach us your ways, that you would uphold us by your Holy Spirit and sanctify us, cleanse us of our sins, that we might be those who, in the time of persecution when it comes, that we would be found faithful, fearing you and you only. Father, we are thankful this day to celebrate the Lord's Day, a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray as we look in hope to the future for our bodies to be resurrected, new glorified bodies. And yet we pray that you would comfort our hearts. Comfort our hearts with your promises. Comfort our hearts with your word. Comfort our hearts as we assemble together, unite together, and worship as one body before your throne. Grant to us peace by your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray especially that you would be with Michael and Audrey. You would grant them your uplifting hand. That you would be like the mother bird who shelters her little babies under her wing. That you would protect them. Strengthen them. Give them wisdom. And grant them your strength, even in their weakness. That you cause them to grieve well. That they would not turn to idols. That they would not turn to what they could have done. And thoughts that are outside your providence. But that they would trust in you and your providence and your plan. And they would have hope in Christ alone. Help us to come around them in the coming weeks, months, even years, as they remember Adassa, that those who have gone through similar things would be there to comfort them, as they've lost children and they can help and keep pointing them to Christ, carrying them to Christ. Many temptations can come in such a time. We pray that you would lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. And you would keep Satan from them. We remember Job. Pray that they would see the good out of this suffering and affliction. That it's for your glory. We pray also this week for Elijah. Pray that you would strengthen him, calm him as he struggles with teething. And pray that you would be with those who are far from us or going away on a trip. We pray for Tim and for Michelle and Melissa as she returns home. Father, uphold your people and grant to them safety in travel as they need your protection and your sustaining grace. We praise you that you have brought us thus far. We pray that you would sustain us to the end and build us up through faith by your word, by your spirit, and your grace. We pray for those churches who are persecuted. Pray especially for that one in Canada of our denomination, of which the magistrate is searching for them. They've told them they can't worship in the homes they were worshiping in. And so this day, as they go out into the countryside, we pray that you would protect them from the evil of a wicked magistrate who hates you, just like we just read in Pharaoh and the Egyptians. For they are fearful, the magistrate are fearful of you, because your people are too strong, because you, by your Spirit, live in their hearts. And they are afraid of hearing that message. But Father, we pray that you would cause that message to break through and go unto all lands and all peoples, Jews and Gentiles of all nations, of every tongue and tribe and people. And you would call your elect to yourself, and you would bring them home. We also pray for that civil magistrate and our civil magistrates, that you would turn them to yourself. You would cause them to love you. We plead for mercy to them, even though they have done harm to your people for countless ages throughout history. Even though we ought to and could pray for justice, and we do pray for justice to be upon them. We pray also for your mercy, as you call us in 1 Peter 2. And even to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies. And so call them to yourself. And at one point, as you do that, they would covenant with Christ. The nation would covenant with Christ, and they would turn the peoples to turn to the churches and worship you and live godly lives for Christ your Son. That is our prayer. We do not seek vengeance ourselves. Vengeance is yours. That's what you say. And so we leave it with you. Show mercy as you have shown mercy to us. Show mercy to our children. Show mercy to any here who do not know you. And call them to yourself today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.